The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
He is our close personal friend, Bill Fichtner, who hasn't called yet, but I'm not worried. Shannon, you worried?
No, he's the most trustworthy man in the world.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Speaks, you worried?
No, man, I'm just listening to the courtship of Eddie's father. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's great. Happy as a clam.
I am very excited about it, and it's going to be great. And Bill Fichtner is
now
going.
Now you're starting.
Now it might be a little bit late.
Just a minute. Don't hang up. Hello. You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Bill just called. Internet went out in his home. He's trying to drive to a place with better reception. Because he called me and my phone line was horrible.
He's there. I love this guy.
I'm on the other side street. What's the story with this?
The line is still terrible. So, we'll...
Is it?
Yeah, it's not great.
This is going great.
He'll reach out when the internet gets restored.
Yes.
And he'll be on tomorrow with Grody and Raj.
No. We're not giving Bill up to those guys.
No, Max. We're not.
They can have other things.
How rude.
He goes one, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Didn't want them anyway. We do our own thing here, along with
Brody?
That guy, Chris Ranji. I'm Mark Grody.
We did
Grody.
Not get Bill Fichtner.
No.
We did get Christian Bale, so
yeah, we're having Batman on today. We don't
we got Christian Bale,
yeah,
and Jodie Foster,
right? Brad Pitt at 5.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, everybody who's been in any movie. Bruce Willis will join us. So anybody who's been in a movie with Bill Fichtner is going to be on with us today. But we don't get Bill himself.
We don't settle for character actors when you and I host together, which has never happened before. We're looking for A-listers because we went to an A-list college in Illinois State. We're both Redbirds.
Mark, it is the Illinois State to you.
It is. It is the Illinois State. And we figured out during the break, too, that this is the all-directional school show because you and I are Redbirds. Studzinski, down a level, went to Western Illinois.
Excuse me.
Yeah, down a level.
It's the Western Illinois University to you.
The
Harvard of the Midwest is what they call it.
Yeah. They do not. And then Herb, did you say went to Eastern or
no? I went to Western for like 6 months.
Oh wow, what happened there?
I mean, it's Western.
That's
Illinois.
Actually a pretty standard thing at Western. Actually,
you know, I gotta get out of here.
There were multiple guys on my floor my freshman year that dropped out after the first semester.
Really,
it was my first exposure to alcohol and being on my own, so that didn't go well.
And Macomb does not have much to offer. Do you remember when they were holding, there was a training camp that was, I'm acting
the Rams,
like...
The Rams had training camp for a long time.
Right. I was there. That was the only time I went to Western Illinois because I was working for a Springfield radio station and sent dispatched to go interview the very, very nice Kurt Warner, who had bad breath when I was interviewing him.
He did?
And yeah, it was really weird because he was as a comet, and this is him at the peak of his powers. And you know, Kurt Warner's a super nice guy. He gave me like a half an hour. I was ready to end it because it was like a lot of terrible stuff with a dash of halitosis, and I was ready. Haven't you ever had the bad breath experience or the horrible body odor going on where you're like, I gotta abort this interview. This is great stuff I'm getting here, but I gotta go because I can't take it.
No, I just used to get spit on like by Don Cooper.
Did you really?
No, I mean, it wasn't actually, it was spittle.
I can
you know,
see.
There's
oh,
a,
yeah.
just a little bit, like, you know, tobacco juice and food or whatever.
So, yeah. so would you shoo it away as the little real bits and pieces of Red Man came about your face? How did you handle that?
Yeah, Red Man. And it wasn't even the ground up stuff. It was like the whole leaf. It would all just come out. That's my experience. I know for a fact. You and I both have interviewed a lot of people, Brody, over the years.
Yeah.
I know that I've interviewed bad breath people. But nobody like stands out where I go back going, oh my God, you won't believe this guy.
Yeah.
Somebody like, hey, have you ever dealt with so-and-so? I have. And let me tell you about his breath. I've never really had a thing like that, no.
Yeah, it's usually other media members that bring the stink. That's usually the case. So if you're stuck in what we call multiple reporters a gangbang, then sometimes it can get ugly in the middle of that when it's 85 degrees and you're outside.
And sometimes, Grody, the problem is that happens when you wear the same shirt every day, where there are a lot, there are a lot of people in the media who just have a uniform.
Right.
You know?
It's a uniform. Hey, speaking of your guy, Doc Hooper, and the Chicago Whites, he is your guy. And I think this would be a great day. I mean, we've got a couple of open slots. Maybe we can get Don
Cooper. If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Yeah. And
he'll probably say that to me now.
Right. Raji, what's he doing on that radio station? I thought they got rid of him a long time ago. But the White Sox... It begins again tonight. They are hosting the Houston Astros, a team against which they actually looked horrible earlier this year. They were swept in four games, outscored 27-8, a Dylan Cease, Lance McCullers pitching situation tonight. But the White Sox making a few moves today, which are, I think, positive. One of them I would classify as interesting, but they reinstated Aaron Bummer, who's had an uneven I guess that's probably the best way to describe his season. Not living up to expectations, but Aaron Bummer reinstated, so he'll be good to go tonight. They have recalled Reynaldo Lopez. Where are you, Reynaldo? I wasn't even really tracking Reynaldo. I should have known he was still part of the organization, but I had forgotten about Reynaldo Lopez. They optioned Matt Foster and left-handed pitcher Jace Fry to Charlotte. And you could all get off of Jake Lamb's back because he's been sent out for a rehab assignment. But first of all, does that surprise you at all that they're giving Reynaldo Lopez a shot, Ron? Because I had not even thought about him nor that possibility. But obviously, they're going to try to insert him in some sort of, I assume, bullpen role.
Yeah, and unless they're thinking maybe down the line they might end up using him as a starter, spot starter, something like that. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is here, but I guess for somebody who's been underwhelming really for the last couple of seasons, you're just hoping that you can get something out of him. And it's not like, look, I mean, it's not like he's 32, 33 years old. I mean, he's still on the right side of 30, so there still should be something there they feel like they can salvage. And every team, and I believe as of right now, they're going to have him pitching out of the bullpen, right?
Correct.
Like, that's the plan. So at this point of the season, pretty much every team in baseball could use an extra arm in the bullpen. Every team. I don't care how good your bullpen is, and the White Sox have had a pretty good bullpen this season. They've been able to lock down games at the end. It is a benefit, a huge benefit, to get an extra arm or two, a fresh arm or two in that pen. So I guess they're hoping just to get a little something out of him in that regard. But again, his 2020, not very impressive at all, but it was a weird season. And he only started 8 games last year, and it was a 60-game season, as everybody knows. So I don't know how much you can really expect from him. It's just a matter of getting reinforcements at the end, and that's just one of those baseball cliches. You got to get the reinforcements for the second half. You got to get the reinforcements. But I mean, that's kind of what this is right now, right? For a dude, for a team that's as injured as they are, the one thing you can do is hope that one of your strongest units of the team is strengthened at the end of the year, because you've lost a lot of guys in your lineup. You've been pretty good on the pitching staff, but I mean, you have to improve wherever you can, and I guess they're just hoping he can give them a little something.
See, I'm not as high on what the White Sox bullpen has done this year. I think I would still like them, because you know they're gonna do more than just Reynaldo Lopez. They're gonna get other arms. They're gonna try to fortify.
I hope so.
Ronji, I'd like to see them, and I don't have names here, but I'd like to see them go out and get another guy who you know can pitch in the eighth or ninth inning. Because while the bullpen, I guess you could call them good, I think they've been disappointing. And I still don't feel great when Cody Hoyer goes out there. He has not had a great season. Garrett Crochet has been, you know, he's had velocity issues this year. It's been up and down. Obviously, Matt Foster, who is now gone, has had a train wreck of a season. The guy that we're hopefully talking to at 3:30, Liam Hendricks, has had a mostly terrific season. So I feel like he's the only guy that has really lived up to what he is supposed to be. Now, maybe when Aaron Bummer comes back, he becomes Aaron Bummer again. But I don't think any of these guys have been themselves. And I don't know if that – it's possible that that could be fixed. And maybe Bummer becomes what he has been and what we think he is. But this is my long-winded way of saying that if the White Sox are going to make a deal, I know the obvious places with catcher and second base.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind seeing them give something up to get a guy that can – that you know – beyond Michael Kopech, I didn't even mention him, beyond Kopech and Liam Hendricks, that can pitch in those eighth and ninth innings, because beyond those two guys, I don't know who I absolutely, no doubt about it, trust in a high-leverage situation in a big game, and you're going to have those big games right away, and you'll start to find out here against the Astros.
Well, okay, and I agree with you. I don't think that you should ever – a team that's got legitimate championship thoughts – and that, and the White Sox are a legitimate championship contender this year, despite all of the problems they've dealt with. And it, I mean, that'll be difficult for them to do, even when they make the playoffs, and I'm assuming they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think you should. I think it's malpractice if you're a team to look at your team and say, yep, everything's fine. All these guys are good, so we don't really need to do anything. I am a huge fan of the idea of killing a fly with a sledgehammer when it comes to baseball. So your bullpen's good, great. Go make it even better if you can. And I fully agree with you on that. Unless, you know, I mean, there gets to be a point where maybe there are some other things you need to address first because they're bigger, glaring needs in the moment, and I get that. But I don't think you can go into the trade deadline and just feel like, well, we're going to get Eloy back and we're going to get Robert back, so we don't really need to. And the bullpen's been good, so let's not even try to bolster it at all. I think that in itself is a mistake, and I hope they don't do it that way. But statistically speaking, they are top five or six in strikeouts per nine, the bullpen is. In fielding and independent pitching, same deal. They're in that range, five to six. Their walk rate is seventh or eighth best in baseball. So they have been good. But look what the Cubs did when they won a World Series. I think, and I contend this, that they still might have won a World Series without Aroldis Chapman. I think they still could have done that. But you know what they said? We're going to go get this bullpen even better.
Yep.
Like, we don't really need this guy, but we're gonna leave nothing. We're gonna leave no stone unturned. We're gonna do everything we possibly can. And they made a pretty good bullpen even better. That's what I want to see the Sox do. If it's not realistic to find an outfielder or a shortstop or catcher, whatever it is, do something else.
Oh yeah.
To make part of your team just miles better than everybody else.
No doubt. And I said this in 2016 on the radio as much as I possibly could, that was the year. It sounded ridiculous to say it, but I was saying it. It was a must-win the World Series year because you had the Pirates giving up. Cincinnati sucked that year. So did Milwaukee. The Cardinals had a decent season. I think they were 10 games over 500 that year, but they were not as much of a threat. You had rebuilding teams in the Central. I said, you know what? They're not going to be rebuilding forever. They're going to get better, and lo and behold, Milwaukee obviously has risen, and so has Cincinnati. So that was the year that they had to win it. You don't want to think about all, like, never mind sustained success and all that stuff. Win the damn World Series this year. I'm saying the exact same thing for the White Sox. The White Sox, as you said, they got a damn 8-game lead on Cleveland. You're not going to have that next year. Minnesota is inconsequential. They are irrelevant right now to the White Sox. Yep. They're probably not going to be irrelevant to the White Sox next year. This will be the best chance the White Sox have to win a World Series, or at least get to it. I'm not sure where the bar is for White Sox fans right now, but this is the best chance. So, yeah, go ahead and add a few players here and there. Bring up Ronaldo Lopez, whether it's, you know, to package him in a trade or pitch in the doubleheader, whatever the case may be. But go make the big move because this is your chance right now. Not next year, right now.
Yeah, and what did the Astros I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. When they won in 17, didn't they have a really big lead at the time they traded for Verlander I want to say they did. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
about
I think that they did. We'll check it out, but I think you're right about that.
Okay, so I mean that's what you do. I think I might be wrong, but whatever. You make a good team even better at the deadline if you can, because you mentioned the idea of sustained success, which every team says that's what they want.
Sure.
They want to be, hey, we're not just worried about this year. We're worried about 22 and 23 and 24 in addition to it. We want to make sure that we don't go too hard this year and then screw our chances for the following
years. Never mind that.
Yeah, screw that, man. Like the way I feel about it is you're here now. And while you hope to be back next year and the year after that and the year after that, don't forsake 2021 just because you're getting ready for next year too, because this is the closest you do get. I mean, look at the Cubs. They did go to the playoffs again after the World Series, and they did have competent and competitive teams after the World Series, but they never got to that point again, and they never really got close to that point again. There is no guarantee that just because this White Sox core is good and young that they're going to be perennially in the playoffs every year. So take every advantage you can now of this team that you have now with the momentum, if you believe in that idea, that they have now, and build on it and see what you can do. And as you get your team better at the trade deadline, then in about a month, you're going to get back those other two big boys you've been missing all year. And now you're really in business. I love the idea of doing that. I love the idea of minimizing risk. And when I'm talking about risk, I mean like the risk of going into the rest of the season with just what you have and assuming it's going to go okay. What I really want them to do is lessen the margin for error. Like, that's what you do. And you give yourself every opportunity that if this one thing goes wrong, well, we're still really strong in this area because we bolstered it, and so that's even better. Like, that's the way you have to approach this as you get closer to the deadline. And I hope that's what they do. I am in total agreement with you. If they can't address the catcher, if they cannot address second base, I want them to make that bullpen better.
And guys, if you're still curious, the Houston Astros had the best record in the American League and were 11.5 games up when they traded for Justin Verlander. Yeah.
And then they went and got another starter that you would think, well, they don't need that guy. They're 11 games up, and they went and got him, and then they won a World Series. And you can argue that it's the scheme or whatever, the garbage cans. And I'm sure that's a lot to do with it, but they went and made the team they already had that was awesome even better.
Right. Just keep doing fortifying in a big way. So I want to see a big move. Sorry, I was looking off to in my peripheral vision, Chris. See, that's a word I learned at ISU, peripheral. Yeah. It says from the 630, Grody and Ranger, it's like I just stepped into a dream. Yes, it is. Oh. This is real. He is Chris Ranji. I'm Mark Grody. We're in for Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel. Let's continue to talk. Let's talk about the Cubs and Sox maybe doing business together. And an interesting text message in regards to Michael Kopech as well. Boog Shambi of the Cubs play-by-play announcer for Marquee will join us at 3 o'clock. Liam Hendricks at 3:30. Steve Stone at 4 o'clock. It is the Parkins and Spiegel Show with Ranji and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Oh, yeah. Curveball dancing into the bottom of the zone.
His stuff is very explosive.
That's strike three.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys in this league. You know, it used to be rare. You saw 99 and it was a rarity. Now you're seeing some guys, I'm not saying everybody does it, but a lot more guys these days do it. But very few, if any of them, do it with the ball jumps on you as quickly.
Oh, the slider, and yet again, Michael Kopech strikes out the side.
No sticky stuff issues for Michael Kopech, that's for sure. That was from the Sunday broadcast against the Baltimore Orioles. Jason Minetti and Steve Stone on NBC Sports Chicago of Michael Kopech striking out the side. I believe he did that twice in that series. They bring him in, and he just does what he does. The velocity is there. The movement is there. Michael Kopech has been on point all season except for the blip with the injuries. We welcome you back in along with Chris Ronji. I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Ronj, there is a text which I agree with and thought was interesting. It says from the 773, Kopech never pitches in high-pressure situations where he has to get himself out of a jam. They need to get him in some high-pressure situations. And I largely agree with that. And we could ask Stoney about this as well. But he is going to be as important of a figure, a player, a bullpen arm in the postseason as anybody. And I do want to see him more. I don't know if it's possible to see him more just because of the program that he has been on this year. But I would like to see them ramp it up for Michael Kopech. And a lot of that, too, is what I was talking about earlier, the disappointment, relatively speaking, that Cody Hoyer has been this year.
And I'm perfectly fine with them being careful with him and his health as much as they possibly can. But at some point, you're going to have to pull the pin. You're just going to have to let him go. And it would be a good idea to get him into some more of the high-leverage situations as you get into August and then September, so he's got that experience. And it's not like it – I don't know if it's going to matter all that much in the end. Like I don't think that we're going to – if he does get into a high-leverage moment in October and he blows it, I don't think that it's necessarily because they didn't get him enough of those in the regular season, because there is precedent – for a pitcher being relatively inexperienced and being thrown into a big moment and doing well. It's relief pitching. You know, it's not like there's not a huge sample. So, I mean, you could get one appearance and do well with the three guys that you face and have very little experience leading up to it, and it's okay. And I think that could happen for him. But if you do give him the experience, that's probably ideal. So some high leverage chances here in August, when we finally get to that month, or hell, start doing it now. I don't care. Be as careful with him as you possibly can, but then at some point over the next several weeks, it's time to just let's let it rip, man. Let's let it go with this guy and let him have those big moments.
Absolutely. Ronji, I am getting some information in my ears right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of high leverage,
yeah.
Liam Hendricks.
Yes.
High leverage artist will join us at 3 o'clock.
Oh no.
So he was with Be Ready. Get some good questions. Do a little research, you know. So he'll be on with us at 3, and then at 4:20, studs. Is that accurate? 4:20, Boog Shambi has been nice enough to push back a little bit to 4:20. So Boog of the Marquee Sports Network, Cubs play-by-play man, will join us at 4:20. So thank you to Shane Reardon and Adam Studzinski for setting that up, and thank you to those fine gentlemen for agreeing to do a little flip-flopping and moving things up. Thank you to the White Sox as well. So we'll look forward to talking to Liam Hendricks about his All-Star experience and some of the loud things that went down there, and talking to him about the second half of the season. I assume that you took in all of that fun, didn't you, Ronj?
Yeah. You know, I like the Home Run Derby more than anything else when it comes to All-Star festivities now. When I was a kid, I really liked getting to see players in other uniforms play on the same field with the guys that I grew up liking.
Yep.
Like, that was a cool thing. It's the novelty of that for me has worn off. But doing what those guys did in the Home Run Derby, and even though Shohei Ohtani didn't make it out of that first round, watching Pete Alonso and seeing them, and the format they have is awesome. I love the new Home Run Derby format with the timer. It's so much better. And then the additional time if you hit the 475-foot home run or whatever it is. Like, all of that is great, and I think it's made it more dramatic. So I pay more attention to that than I do the actual game. And then I wind up, you know, kind of sort of paying attention as the game is going on. But then the really good stuff, I think I'll catch up on later.
Yeah, and I mean, they have definitely made the broadcast more entertaining. If they didn't do all the fun with audio things, I'd probably watch for a few innings, maybe check out the guys, the local guys, see what they do, maybe check out their one at bat, maybe tune back in.
Right.
But it's, yeah, man, when I'm like you, that like when I was a kid, I was so into it, and I was very territorial about the guys that, like my guys, my Cubs players, they would go into a game, right? And you just didn't want them to embarrass themselves, and you wanted them to look good, and you felt like, I felt like I was very alarmed when my guys would come up because it was very sweaty and I wanted them to do well so badly.
Because this is everybody's chance to see the guys you see every day. Well,
yeah.
Now it's easy to see everybody everywhere. You know, like you can watch games for any team you want to if you pay for the service. And you see highlights from everything. So it's not, you're not starved of getting to watch Shohei play. Like you get, if you want to, you can watch Shohei Ohtani play every time he's in a game, every single time, no matter where you live in the country. So it's just different now. And so I don't think that for me, the novelty of it doesn't matter as much anymore because I get to see a lot of these players throughout the year if I want.
All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, though, we will speak to the closer of the Chicago White Sox, Liam Hendricks, along with Chris Ronji. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.